And such are the treasure troves of evidence of the risen Lord Jesus. And of course, we don't want to lose any of the evidence. We don't want to happen what has happened in the Willie Picton case. And can you understand how the police could lose the majority of the files on the case? And now they're reduced to a limited number of items of evidence. Well, when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the evidence stands. It remains. And it's not going anywhere.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We have our message today on the women at the tomb. We're asking the question, why the women? Why did the Lord make himself known first to the ladies and not to his own 12 disciples? Surely there must be something in this. Well, in our investigation of these questions and the issues relating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we want to turn to the narrative. And so we're going to look here at the Bible reading itself. Follow along with us in the Word of God as we read on the story of the resurrection.
We'll read right from verse 1 through to the end, Lord willing. Mark 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they led him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. May the Lord bless this wonderful chapter of His Word to every heart tonight. And we pray that last little detail will be our experience, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and today we're going straight to our message from the pulpit of our church on the women at the tomb. What a theme, that Jesus is alive. This is the hope of the world, and this is our message today.
And you know, in every generation, indeed in every congregation, God raises up such women. They are marked by that very spirit of earnestness. Nothing is too much trouble for them. Nothing is too early, too late. They are willing to expend, spend and be spent, that they might honor their Lord. And they are role models. They are great examples in the church of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not sure, as I said, what they did with these elite guards, but they were certainly facing this daunting task of rolling away this stone, a stone that was probably a few tons. How could these women ever roll it away? And if you go to Mark 16, verse 4, what happened when they looked? They saw that the stone was rolled away. And as so often when men, women decide to serve the Lord, the very thing they think is the great obstacle, the thing they fear that will make it impossible, it's rolled away by the time they get there. And this ought to strengthen our faith. You may be facing a rock of human opposition. There may be someone, some group, some people that's making it very difficult for you to honor the Lord. But the Lord can roll that opposition away. There may also be with you, as these women, physical limitation. These women didn't boast of great physical strength. They were just ordinary ladies. And yet the Lord overcame that very limitation. Maybe it is in your own walk the lack of finances. I'm not just talking now about giving money to the Lord's work or to missionary causes. I'm talking about paying your bills. When it comes to the end of the month, to pay the rent, pay the mortgage, keep up with all the demands upon that limited income that you have. And as Christians, we can fear that this will harm our testimony. And what kind of a reputation will I have if I don't pay my bills on time? Well, we've got to learn, when those things that seem impossible, we step forward in faith to do the right thing, and the Lord will open the way. Now, this would certainly apply to someone who is not yet a Christian, who has not really given their life to the Lord. And you might say, well, I could never be a Christian. I could never serve God. There's a great rock. There's a great impossibility between me and living for God. Well, if you give your heart and give your life to the Lord, He can roll away that seeming impossibility. I'll give you a couple examples of that. We learn in the Bible about Moses. He was the one that God took from the desert back to stand before Pharaoh. And God did with Moses what was impossible. And of course, the Red Sea in particular. And what seemed to be an absolute impossibility, God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that sea opened, and God opened a way right across that Red Sea. Now, the Lord can open a way for you. He can open a way for you to trust Him, to be saved, and to serve him. Another outstanding example, of course, is Joshua. When Joshua took over from Moses, they still had to cross the Red Sea. And what was God's order? Send the priests with the Ark of the Covenant in the front. And that river that was flowing brimful, and it would have swept away the people, the women, the children, and all of their animals and effects that they were bringing over, it would have been a tragedy. But the promise was that when the feet of the priests touched the water carrying the ark, that the water held back and God opened a way. It was seeming impossible. Now, surely every Christian has a story of God working the seeming impossible. Do you know one of the greatest miracles tonight? That I'm a Christian. Absolutely miraculous. It was the last thing in my mind when I was a young lad. It was the last thing that I wanted to do with my life, to become a Christian and serve the Lord. But that's a miracle, and God removes the obstacles. And how many there are along the path of the Christian, the Lord takes them all away. So that rock stands for the burden, the yearning of the Christian to honor the Lord. And let me tell you, if you really want to serve the Lord will open a way. There's no excuse. Someone said to me when I was a young preacher, the greatest ability that God gives is availability. And if you're available, God can use you. He can open up the way. Now, we also bring now to heaven's help. Heaven's help, removing the rock. And I want us to turn to Matthew's account. Matthew's account of this is very straightforward in chapter 28. And we have a whole list of supernatural things, mighty events that took place that wonderfully helped these women as they wanted to honor their Lord. And we're just proving the point that these women who were so earnest, so consecrated to honoring the Lord went before them. Well, the first thing we read off in Matthew 28, of course, is in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, no one planned that except God. And that has to be a different earthquake from the one that took place at the cross. You remember when the Lord Jesus cried out, "It's finished," and God rent the veil and rent the rocks, that there was an earthquake that day when the Roman centurion cried out that this was the Son of God. But this is a separate earthquake on the resurrection morning. And here is God awakening man to the great miracle. Then, why did this earthquake happen? Well, Matthew says, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Now, you would think one little angel would never manage that, but do not underestimate the power, the ability of an angel. Then in verses 3 and 4, the angel is the one that dealt with the custodia, that elite Roman guard. It says that his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers, those Roman soldiers, did shake. These professional, disciplined, professional soldiers, they trembled like a leaf and became as dead men. God's answer, God's way of helping, opening the way for these women to honor the Lord. And then in verse 5, a word of comfort and cheer. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye." Could it be made more personal than that? It's obviously Very, very personal. Fear not, ye. The angel's not making some broad announcement, but he's directing it to these women. For I know that ye seek Jesus. You haven't come to see me. Haven't come to look for an angel. You've come to see the Lord Jesus, which was crucified. And he adds that in just to make sure it's the same Jesus. It's not some other Jesus. It's the one that was crucified on the cross. And in verse 6, you have the great announcement. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Angels know what Jesus said. Angels take note of the prophecies and the promises of the Lord, as he said. And the angel's just the messenger rehearsing the truth. And then in verse 7, the angel directs these women to the Lord Jesus. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Now here's the angel. He's the angel of the Lord, and he's directing these women who are earnest about their Savior where to find him and what they must do to go unto him. And he says, lo, I have told you. I've done my part. I've done my part. Lo, I have told you. Now it's up to you. How often the Bible speaks to us in these terms. God gives us the way, the light, the direction. We must now go. And of course, these women in their earnestness and in their desire to honor the Lord, they departed quickly. And they went from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Now, how can that be? Fear and great joy. They seem like opposites. But you know, in our Christian worship, in the house of God, in the presence of the Lord, those two things must be married. There must be in our hearts a spirit of fear, a fear that we reverence our God. But in the midst of the Lord, there is joy in our souls. To the unconverted, unsaved person, those things seem like opposites. But if you're really saved tonight, you'll know the experience. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more you fear him. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more you enjoy him. And they ran off with fear and great joy, and they'd run to bring his disciples word. And here is where these women meet their reward. And it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, they were faithful. They did exactly what the angel told them to do. Jesus met them, saying, all heal. Do you know that's the same word that Judas used? Heal, Master. The word heal means rejoice. Rejoice. Judas used it, of course, deceptively. He was the betrayer, deceiving his Lord. But here is the Lord Jesus coming to these women to address them. All heal. Every one of you, rejoice, rejoice. These are the first words of the Lord Jesus to these women, rejoice. Now, if I know women and the cares and their temperaments and their needs, this is just the word you need tonight. Now, I know I struck out tonight rather boldly and cheekily talking about women. How come they got the news first? And I said a few things that you probably said, well, I'm going to hit him over the head with my purse on the way out. But I want you to know tonight, ladies, that the Lord has a word for you in your time of need. These women found comfort in the very center of doing the Lord's will. And that's how it works, not just for ladies, but for us all. When we are doing exactly what we know the Lord would have us to do, He comes to us and He encourages. A missionary will never find encouragement on the run from God, like Jonah. When Jonah was on that ship, it was torment for him and torment for everybody else. And it wasn't until he got into God's will that God could use him and bless him. And the lesson is here for us tonight. Then in verse 10, let's not go too quickly here. The response of these women in verse 9, they came and held him by the feet. This new body of the Lord Jesus was a real body. It wasn't just misty thin air. He had real physical features. And in a proper decorum, these women could unitedly come and fall at his feet and lay hold upon his feet. And just as Thomas put his hands into the nail prints in the hands, the side of the Lord, and believed, these women could tell, this one is real. He has a real body. And they worshipped him. The Greek word is proskuneo. It is to prostrate and worship. It is the use of a little dog that comes and licks its master's face. These women adored. They reveled. You could say they rejoiced in a wonderful, godly manner at the feet of Jesus. This was their wonderful delight. And then we find the Lord Jesus in the next very verse. He says to them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren." Why does the Lord give us these special times to worship Him? Why does God allow us to enjoy the very presence of the Lord in our hearts and souls? That we might become the witnesses to go tell the Lord's brethren. You can be an encourager to other Christians. You can be the one that will bear that word of hope, as these women did. My, they had a wonderful message to tell. Not only did they have an empty tomb, empty grave clothes, the news of an angel, but they had touched, laid hold upon the living Lord Jesus. They were convinced, and they could go with all their hearts and tell the others. Now, the Lord has blessed us, I believe, over this Easter weekend. We've had three great meetings. Friday, this morning, and I hope this evening. What does the Lord want us to do? To go tell my brethren. There might be some lonely, needy Christian. Someone who is seeking by grace to walk with God and needs a word of help and hope. Pray that you and each of us can be that messenger. There may be one on the verge of trusting the Lord Jesus. Maybe we could be that one to go and tell. Go and tell. It's a great missionary message. Go and tell. Every one of us can be missionaries in the week to come, in the month to come. Go tell my brethren. And now they were doing what the angel did. They knew where to find them. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. These other disciples needed a messenger to tell them the rendezvous spot. Go. Let's pray that God will make us that messenger and use us in the days to come. As you read on down that chapter, you'll find that almost every word has a little sermon in it. Just take time to read it, pray over it, and say, "Lord, will you do in my heart what you did for these women? Would you just give me the thrill of the living Christ speaking to me?" That's the hope that comes from the tomb Praise God, the stone is rolled away. The great obstacle that we thought would hinder us is gone, and the Lord comes down to help. That's grace, and it's just like the Lord.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. We take the sermons from our church pulpit at the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale and air them each day on this program, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. I trust that you will be a regular listener here on the station. You can also hear our church service Sunday mornings, 9:30 on this station, 9:30 to 10:30, or 1 hour church service, and I trust it will be a wonderful blessing to your own heart. You can also join us by webcast on your computer. Go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and at 10:30 and 6 p.m. on Sundays, you can join us at live webcast. Just click on the red Live Now button on the front page of our website, and you'll be right into our service. We trust that that will work for you. Now, of course, even better, we want to invite you along to our church. Sundays 10:30 and 6, no Sunday school over the summer, and it's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. I'll give you the mailing address, 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. And of course, if you have any need, give me a call, 604-576-1091. I'll be delighted to take your call, and I trust the Lord will bless you as you listen in to Let the Bible Speak.